Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 9, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And that'll be on Pew Bible page number 8. It's nice to not have triple and quadruple digits. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Our second scripture lesson comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. That's on Pew Bible page 882, if you were looking. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents to heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we come on this Pentecost Sunday praising you and asking that your Spirit will be with us and we will be able to listen to how you're leading, listen to what you're saying. May our time of listening to your Spirit, listening about your Spirit, raise in us awareness of it, how it is in our lives, moving and breathing and blowing with us and through us. May your Spirit guide us and lead us as we listen to your word. In your name we pray. Amen. I don't know if Pentecost is the reason, but we had the fire trucks here on Friday, and that was an adventure. For me, Pentecost will always go in hand with one particular place. Livingston, Illinois, circa the 1920s. Let me get to why that all tracks there. Now, you might think that a community whose current claim to fame is being a location for the Pink Elephant Antique Mall, and only being established since 1904, might be an odd location to track with Pentecost. In many ways, a small village in Illinois off of I-55, which if you're going down I-55 to St. Louis and you blink, you'll miss even the pink elephant along the road. You might think that that's a little odd to track with the Tower of Babel and Pentecost. But remember, we're not talking about the 850 current residents now. Some of them, sure, maybe we're talking about. We're not talking about the grocery store with the sign on top of it advertising slot machines. We're referencing back when the new Staunton Mine number 1 was operating, and people from all over were coming to work. Poles, Yugoslavs, Irish, Italian, Czech, immigrants of all form and fashion from all these different countries gathered together in one place to raise their families and work. Now, in that small town, you had a few choices. You could learn the language of your neighbors, learn it enough to communicate, or try and create your own family enclave in your own house where you didn't understand the neighbors, you didn't want to know the neighbors, you didn't need to know the neighbors. But the best of my recollection, because of school, work, family, and worship together, the communities learned each other, learned each other's languages so that they could gather together and speak and communicate. The children of this community could speak all the various dialects. They couldn't write them, but they knew them enough to listen to their friends' parents. They knew them enough to communicate with their best friend. It was a confluence of languages and cultures all blended together in this beautiful small town. To hear my grandfather share of his hometown, it seemed like a blissful melting pot. But the reality is that we know that there were other struggles and strains in that community. The struggles of cultural identity would push and pull these young people. There's an element of sadness knowing that someday these children would be adults and would not have that togetherness that happened. You see, in so many ways, language is an undercurrent on Pentecost, but it's not the current. it's not the uniting story. Because on the one hand, we have the story of Babel, the tower. And we have a people who are united together in language. But they're also united in one other thing: disobedience to the commands of God. You see, when God, in the post-flood period of time, tells the people to go and fill the land, be fruitful and multiply and fill the land, and what do? They find a flat piece of earth and fill a part of the land. And then what do? They build a city and a tower, not for the glory of God who saved their ancestors from the flood and who continued to be with them, but for ourselves, so we will be remembered, so our names will be great. The Tower of Babel is about unified language and unified disobedience. And so when we see the confusion of language come, and we see the people being scattered, we see this moment where God's command happens, although the people are not willing in their participation. And then on the other side, we see the day of Pentecost. The people in Jerusalem are gathered together for the festival of Shavuot, the festival of Pentecost. 50 days after the start of Passover, this festival happens, hence Pentecost. Yeah. And they're gathered together from all around the world. We hear of all the nations represented there. And then it happens. The Spirit comes, and the people are together in that moment. People are together, although their language is divided. Think about that. We have two moments where people have separate agendas, gathering together to praise God and building their own town in disobedience to God, creating their own area, their own name in the history books, when God had just brought their ancestors to safety. We have these moments of disunity and unity in comparison, in contrast to each other. Now, there are those who would say that what happened in Babel was undone at Pentecost. Well, yes and no. Last time I checked, we still have people in certain countries speaking other languages. We aren't all of a sudden speaking the same language. If you would ask my great-grandfather, it would be Dutch. If you were to ask my other great-grandfather, we'd all be speaking Croatian. You'd rather speak Dutch. The fact of the matter is there's no central language in this post-Pentecost world, is there? So there's still that language divide, that language barrier. But what happened at Babel, the division that happened, was the division of disobedience. That, was it undone at Pentecost? Not necessarily. But it was given support. The obedience was given support, was given something more. When we dig down to these moments, we find on the one hand disobedience and the other full obedience. There's even this beautiful moment of the joy that is caused when obedience meets together. You hear all those people from other places, other cultures, who hear the gospel not in one language, but in their own. Now, before you Throw that moment away. Think about how wonderful it is to be able to open your own Bible, to open it and read it in your own common language, to hear the Word of God spoken in your own common language. Is there not joy in that moment of hearing the Word of God spoken in a common language you know, in your language? On the day of Pentecost, we celebrate the Holy Spirit and how suddenly an amazed crowd of people figure out that a group of backwoods yokels from Galilee can now speak in these languages. God's Spirit can cause them to unite around that centrality of purpose of serving God. God's Spirit is a unifying thing. It is something that brings us together, that can join us together in this unity of purpose, unity of serving God. God's Spirit is there. And that's where it works its wondrous works. In its most basic form, this is the joy of God's Spirit. That it guides us and leads us. It helps us. Today is a day of celebrating. Celebrating by wearing red, by bringing geraniums. Celebrating God's Spirit in us, with us, carrying us through these days. It's a day where we remember that we are united in that central purpose of serving God. And where we are united in that purpose of serving God, God's Spirit is with us. When we serve God, God's Spirit is with us. Sometimes, though, we don't always work well with the Spirit. If you've ever watched a group of young people try and accomplish a task or play a sport, it can be both beautiful and also troubling. It's beautiful when they work together for that central purpose, when they work together and are guided by that central Spirit. It's an amazing thing when they work as one. But there are also moments where they argue and fight. Who made you the boss? Who? Why are you? You don't tell me what to do. All of the things that kids can shout at each other. But then there's that moment where you all of a sudden see unity happen. See that central purpose working. And it happens so beautifully that you don't want to say a word. And so you cover your mouth, tap someone on the arm next to you, and you're doing the whole pantomime of, look what's going on. But you don't want it to go away, so you don't draw attention to it. That's what happens with the Spirit. So often when we look around, there's so much disunity, so much division, that when there is unity and there is a central unifying purpose, we almost think God is in heaven going, he's whacking the angels going, look down there, they're doing it. They're not divided over how we pray. They're not divided over this song or this song. They're not divided over sermons should only be in Dutch. Thanks be to God that that's gone. It's not the divisions. It's the unity that happens, and God can't help but just smack an angel on the arm going, look, they got it. Jesus is up there going, as we do at kids with kids, when this unity happens, there's a response, and we can't help but think that God sees it and responds in such an extreme manner. Because it's so rare for us. We've seen churches have divisions over who's hosting this or that event. Churches get into arguments over whose name is listed at a co-hosted event. Well, why do you get to go first? We want to be last. I wish I was joking about the arguments that churches in ecumenical settings get into, but you know what? You throw a ridiculous ecumenical argument out there and I won't have to take beyond 5 minutes to find you one. The fact is, we care so little often about serving God, and we care so much about the little things, and we don't let God's Spirit move us, shift us, and blow us. Yes, in ways that are uncomfortable, in ways where we have to take a back seat and let God's Spirit take the wheel of the car and drive us somewhere. But guess what? That's beautiful when it happens. That's beautiful. Sure, it's uncomfortable as a brand new food. Sure, we can survive off steamed broccoli and grilled chicken every single day. Yeah, it'll feed you. But it doesn't have the flavor that our faith does. Our faith, God's given, blessed Spirit, leads us to a flavorful life. Think about it. Is it uncomfortable? Well, yeah. If you think the disciples were ever comfortable, read the book of Acts, read the book of the Gospels, and then get back to me. Comfortable? No. Blessed and Spirit-driven? Yes. The fact of the matter is, today is a day where we celebrate a unity of purpose, of serving God. Serving God together. What happened in Babel was all about self-serving and division. What happened at Pentecost was about being unified. Unified around the Spirit of God. Unified together and serving God. Let us unite. Let us work together. And most of all, let us serve God. Amen. At this time, if Chris and Bob will